So today we're starting a series, Searching for Happiness, and this is something that I really have been praying, especially this week as I've been preparing for today and the introduction, that this will be really a significant part of your summer, along with perhaps some days traveling or some family reunions or weddings, that this will be something that you could look back on in 2017 as something that really stuck, some glue for you as you think about what does it mean to be happy in my life. And as we're going to discover as we look more into this, really the tools and the habits that help us to have a life that has more significance and meaning and purpose than many of those whom we travel this journey with, and to really think about what is it that we hold dear to us and what we prioritize in our lives. And so we'll be looking at passages from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Three of them, however, in the next 10 weeks will come from the book of Ecclesiastes, and so we'll get in a little more about the purpose of that book. But I want you to listen now for God's word to us from chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, which is on page 537, if you'd like to read along with me. I said to myself, "Come now, I will make a test of pleasure. Enjoy yourself." But again, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, "It is mad," and of pleasure, "What use is it?" I searched with my mind how to cheer my body with wine, my mind still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly until I might see what was good for mortals to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks, and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and delights of the flesh and many concubines. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all of my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. And then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had spent in doing it. And again, all was vanity and a chasing after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, we can see and appreciate today that your word is so vast and different and creative, that it covers a multitude of situations. And today, O Lord, we will ponder and reflect upon this wise soul who wrote these words at the end of his earthly life, wanting us to truly think about what helps to make us feel content, what matters. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. So much of my inspiration for this series came from a book called Searching for Happiness that I read in January as part of the new year and looking ahead to what I wanted to really focus on in my own life. The author is Martin Thielen, T-H-I-E-L-E-N, if you want to pick up a copy this summer. It's available on Amazon.com. And he writes, as he begins this narrative, Years ago, a successful, affluent, attractive woman with a picture-perfect family came to visit me. Her name was Sarah. A few minutes into the visit, Sarah began to cry. Not just a little bit. She cried her heart out. She told me that she had serious marital problems, major conflicts with her grown daughter, and overwhelming stress at work. During the conversation, I asked her, "What do you want most out of your life?" With tears rolling down her face, Sarah said, "I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy." After she regained her composure, we sat in silence for a moment. I could sense a debate was going on in her mind. Finally, she decided to risk complete vulnerability with me, her pastor. Sarah said, "You know, I make a lot of money. I'm very successful in my profession. And people tell me that I'm attractive, yet I'm terribly unhappy. So I want to know if money, success, and beauty don't make you happy. What does?" So the writer of Ecclesiastes was on the same journey as Sarah. This journey of wondering, you know, I've done it all. I've gained great wisdom. I possess more than anyone else in Jerusalem. I've produced great wine and gardens and parks. I've certainly had a lot of pleasure. Some of it that we can't talk about, right? And from the pulpit. And here I am at the end of my life, this great sage and teacher and quester. And I feel like so much of it was just vanity, trying to look good, all for naught. This sense in our lives of really questioning what? Why work so hard? Why toil the land? Ecclesiastes is kind of this interesting book, maybe not one that you would want to introduce to someone who's new to the Christian faith, because he hits us hard with this challenge of really why life is important for us. Eugene Peterson, the Presbyterian pastor and author, gives us these great words about Ecclesiastes and its purpose. He writes, "The task is to expose our total incapacity to find the meaning and completion of our lives on our own." Ecclesiastes is a John the Baptist kind of book. It functions not as a meal, but as a bath. It is not nourishment, it is cleansing. It is repentance. It is purging. It is an exposé and a rejection of every arrogant and ignorant expectation that we could live our lives by ourselves on our own terms. And I think you just heard Barb say that this morning. We live in a culture in which we're pushed and pushed to be stronger, to be better, to be more organized, to look good on every way that we possibly can. I'm not going to take the time to recite how much money we spend on trying to look better. Somewhere along the line, instead of improving in this area, we continue to struggle more with finding what is it that really does bring importance and value. There's been lots of research, scientific studies. Google happiness and you'll find all sorts of books. Projecthappiness.com actually has studied and made up a pie chart of what it is that our happiness is truly dependent upon after surveying millions of people. They've come up with this pie chart that says it's actually only 10% of the money we make, the person we marry, how many children we have, whether we're single, what kind of job we have, only 10% of that contributes to our happiness. Now, the challenging part is 50% of what contributes to our happiness is our DNA, how we were raised, the lessons that we learned as a child and growing up. But that's only half, so don't lose hope. 10%, your income, your salary, where you live, who you spend your life with. But 40% of what contributes to our happiness is our habits, our practices, our attitudes. What do we spend our time doing and investing upon? We learn from this great sage from Ecclesiastes that most of us, including him, try to get more wisdom, right? We even pray, God, give us more wisdom. We've also known people along the way who have lots of graduate degrees after their name, but they don't have much in the practical side of life, right? Or people skills. So they can have all of that great education and philosophy, but still struggle to connect and relate. Or pleasure. Think about when you go to the amusement park and how that first ride, it's so exciting, especially when you're a child, that sense. And then the tilt-a-wheel, it keeps going around and around and around, and that excitement starts to wear off. The same thing happens to us as we seek pleasure after pleasure, trip after trip. Now, you know me, my husband will tell you, I love to go on vacation. But I know 52 weeks of that, of just thinking about myself, of not reaching out or living in a community with other people, there has to be a sense that life is more than what gives us physical gratification. And lastly, we are a culture of production. Whether we work for John Deere or Caterpillar or the Presbyterian Church, it can become numbers and charts and profit margins. How many new customers, how many new members are coming to the class today? And we start to judge ourselves by our production. That's not going to contribute to our happiness. Even if every seat in this pew, in this sanctuary was full, sure, for today I'd be happier. But in the long run, what's going to matter is what happens to all the people in these pews. If they just come on Sunday, no, they have to understand more of what this kingdom of God is about. There's a quote that says, we may pass violets looking for roses. We may pass contentment looking for victory. We pass by what God has put right in front of us because we lose track of what our habits and what it means to follow Jesus. So in the 9 Sundays ahead, and even if you don't have perfect attendance, you can listen online, we'll be looking at these 9 habits and 9 attitudes, trials as growth, to focus on the present, optimism, forgiveness, generosity, relationships, gratitude, health, and care for your soul. Now, you may have got some of those figured out, but I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that not all 9 are gold stars for you. So I hope in these weeks ahead, as we have set the course today, that by the time we finish in the middle of August, we'll have a much better understanding. What does it truly mean for us to be happy? To have a level of contentment that we don't feel like our days are just all in vain, but truly matter. The last vision I want to leave you with today is a song, and I'm not going to sing it for you. We'll let Melissa and Andrew do the singing today. But it's a chorus that I often hum doing laundry and chores. I can hear my grandpa singing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus as we go forward, seeking out what is it that brings us happiness. Let's pray together. God, again, we rejoice in this season of summer, in this time in which we can truly seek with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul how to be content, how to be happy as we turn our eyes upon you. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.